Tonight, after my reservation. Okay, so we're holding now on Gimel Amud Beis, about a quarter of the way down the Amud, a third of the way down the Amud, actually. We're actually sort of in the middle of something. So like this, let me give background first, and then we'll see where we're holding. Okay, so we talked about like this. We said, our Mishnah had said that Menachos, if you do the K'mitha or any of the Avodas of Mincha, Shaloi L'Shma, with most kinds of Menachos, the Mincha is kosher, but it doesn't count for the owner. In the case of a Mincha Schoiter or Mincha Knois, the Mincha Schoiter, they're completely possible. We brought a Braisa where Rav Shimon says not like that. Rav Shimon says any Mincha, even if it was Shaloi L'Shma, is kosher, because Menachos are all made given. And therefore, if he says, for example, that this is a minchas macheshes, or really it's a minchas machvas, or whatever, what he said can't be possible. Then we said, though, that we had another b'rais that Rav Shimon says essentially the same thing as our Mishnah, that all menachos, it'll be kosher but not count for the owner, except the minchas chota and minchas knois, which will be possible. So how do we reconcile these two statements of Rav Shimon? So we started with, we had Rabba's explanation, which is, there's a difference between Shimi Hashem versus Shimi Bailim. Rabba's basic point was that Rav Shimon would say, if the statement, that the, if the machshava that the person had, that the Kohen had when he did the Knesset, is blatantly false, if it's clearly and obviously false, so you can look at the mincha and see that it's a minchas machvas, and he's saying it's minchas machashas, for example, then we ignore that. We say that we don't count that for anything, and therefore we're still left as a kosher mincha. As opposed to, if he does Shimi Bailin, if he says this mincha that was supposed to be for Reuven, he's doing the k'mitha on behalf of Shimon, fine, that's not something so blatantly, obviously wrong. And therefore, that would be something that would topple the mincha, says Rabba in explanation of Rav Shimon. Then we started discussing, we had Rava's answer, where Rava takes almost the opposite theoretical point of Rabba. Rabba's point was, the more blatantly false, the more obviously false the machshava was, the less likely it is to pass the person. And that's where we went through a whole discussion about the whole kinds of proofs, pro and con, where we have cases where machshava seems to be false, but yet Rav Shimon agrees that it passed the person. And we said in each of those cases, in some of those cases, we said factor, Rav Shimon would disagree in those cases. In other cases, we said it's not so blatantly false because of a hypothetical bystander still might think that it was actually the right thing. And Rava said the more obviously false it is, the less it topples the carbon.
And Rava
takes the opposite. Rava says the other way around. The more obviously false, the more it topples it. And the reason is that actually both of them are basing themselves on the idea that we said earlier in the sugya, that Rav Shimon holds the Shimon time of Dikra. We always try to look for the reason behind a mitzvah that the Torah says, and then use that reason to apply when it applies and when not. So if Rav Shimon says, if the Torah tells us a machshava papal the carbon, the reason must be because there's something about that machshava what is it about that machshava? Rabba takes the view that if the machshava is so obviously false, nobody is going to be misled by it into thinking that this is a thing you're allowed to do, then fine, it doesn't affect the kashrus of the korban, as opposed to if it's something not so, no, according to Rabba, if it's so blatantly false, then it doesn't. If it's not so obvious, then it'll pass all the korban, because then that's a machshava where people might mistakenly think that this is a valid machshava to have. Rava takes the view the other way around, which is that if it's obviously false and people see
it,
the falser it is, the more possible the carbon is, because people are like, Rashi says over here, people are likely to think, you're allowed to think wrong thoughts as far as Torbana. And the fact is, we learned at the beginning, we learned in Bound at the top of Beis Amud Beis, there's an Isser to, the Rambam summarizes it, also a chashav machshava chain in a chayin of a kodshim. You're not allowed to think when you're doing any avodah of kodshim to have a wrong thought. So like this, Rava says, if people see, for example, that he's saying that this is, that when it was a minchas machbas, and he's saying minchas marcheshes, for example, and it's obviously false, people, just the opposite, people are going to think you're allowed to have wrong machshavas. And we don't want that. So therefore we're going to pass it. So Rava therefore had understood that the difference would be therefore, so like this, Rava had said, if he's koimus one type of mincha having in mind a different type of mincha, then fine. And the reason is because, after all, the pasuk says, "Vezos Torah for Mincha," which means Torah Achas for Chol Menachos. All the Menachos have the same rules, and therefore you can substitute one for the other without it being a problem. As opposed to Kremitz Mincha L'Shum Zevach, if you took the Knitza, having in mind that it's going to be Mechafer on somebody who actually needed a korban, an animal korban, then it would be possible. Now, why is that? Because we said, ultimately, we said the reason, Reb Shimon had said, Avo Vizvachim Enikin. The reason is because you don't have any process that implies that it should be kosher going from Menachos to Zvachim, or within Zvachim themselves, for that matter. You have a pasuk that says Zois Torah Mincha, you don't have a pasuk that says Zois Torah Mincha Bezevach, and you don't have a pasuk that says Zois Torah Zvachim. So therefore, when he does the Mincha L'Shem Zevach, it's obviously false. And again, Rava is saying the more obviously false it is, the more it should pass all the korban. Now, we should have thought in that case the same thing should be true from one type of mincha to another, because it's equally obviously false. But there, we have the Torah tells us, those Torah for mincha, which blocks that.
So, to recap, Rava says the falser it is, the less passer it is.
Right.
And Rava says the
falser it is, the more
passer
it is. Right. Okay. But he has a pasuk also, he has a pasuk, Vezos Torah Mincha, to say that Rav Shimon would say it doesn't apply across the board. It only applies within Menachos, within one type of Mincha versus another. We don't apply that rule. We say all of them are kosher if you substitute one for the other. Okay. So we're holding, so the line begins on Mincha, about 12 lines from the top.
Where are you going?
Okay. Okay. So, Nigmana asks, Element. So the line begins from Mincha. The line begins from Mincha. Eleven lines from the top. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Elamayasa, okay, by Rava's logic, within one type of korban, then we should apply, now we said, Rava is saying it's kosher because the Zois Torah for Mincha. We should say then, in that case, well, it also says Zois Torah Chatos, so therefore within Chatos itself, we should apply the same rule, and we should say Ela Me'asa, by that logic, Chatos Chelev Sheshachta L'Shem Chatos Dam, suppose a person is bringing a Chatos for having eaten Chelev, and suppose it's Shechted having in mind that it's actually a Chatos for eating blood, or L'Shem Chatos Avodah Zechavim, or Chatos for worshipping Avodah Zarah, L'Shem Chatos Nazir, L'Shem Chatos Mitzorah. In all those cases, to hate Sheva, based on Rava's logic, it should be kosher, utirasa, and it should actually count for the owner's code. The Omer Rachman of Zos Torah Tachata, because the same thing, the same way as we say Zos Torah Tachmincha, and Rav Shimon is saying, therefore, you can say Marcheshes instead of Machbas, and it's kosher, well, the same thing as Zos Torah Tachata, and therefore, you should be able to say Chatas Dam instead of Chatas Chelev. We should say Torah Achas L'Chol Chatoi.
He doesn't agree with that, Rava?
Well, Rav Shimon apparently doesn't agree with that. Rav Shimon apparently, Rava's interpretation of Rav Shimon would require Rav Shimon to say that within Chatoi, it should be kosher. As long as you had in mind that it's a Chatos, sure, if you do Shini Hashem from a Chatos to another one, fine. It doesn't say Zos Torah Tz Bochim, so you can't apply across Torbonis, but within a Chatos itself it should work.
And
we don't find it, Shimon saying that.
We don't find him saying
that it's kosher, implying therefore, so he would agree it's possible.
Not necessarily, if he doesn't say it.
We would have to find some source to say. Okay. And he said over there that if you shech the chatas for a different one, then it's, yeah. Okay, so the answer is like this. L'Rav Shimon Hochinam. According to Rav Shimon, actually, you're right. Rav Shimon would say that based on this logic, that if you were to shech one chatas having in mind for a different aveda, then it would in fact be kosher. L'Rabbanan, what about though, according to the Rabbanan? Then it would be different, because Ha'amar Rava, because we find that Rava says, chatas chelev shoch, l'shem chatas dam, l'shem chatas avedas zechavim, k'shera. Rava says that it depends. Even according to the Rabbanan, actually, on the bottom of it here, it says, Tzon Kodshim takes out the word Rabbanan. He says that this discussion we're saying is even according to Rav Shimon could agree with that basic concept that we can interchange chatos. However, he would say there are two different types of chatos. If you did it as a chatos, having in mind a different Aveda, fine, we could argue based on Rav Shimon's, based on Rava's logic, Rav Shimon would say it's kosher. But So he would say, then it would be kosher, because a chatas is a chatas. But l'shem chatas nozer, l'shem chatas metzora, psula. But if he would have shechted, having in mind that it's a chatas of a nozer or of a metzora, then we're saying even Rav Shimon would agree that's possible. Again, according to the gifts that we have in the Gemara in front of us, L'rova, L'rabbanon, then it would mean that Rav Shimon would say it's kosher no matter what, and that Rabbanon would make a distinction. That Rabbanon would, so either way, the point is, there's a distinction, we would say, between different types of chatos. Because it's not across the board, because dahani olus ba'adayu ninu, because these have olus with them. This is actually the word dahani olus ba'adayu ninu is actually a blend of two different gear stars. You have like this. Or chatas dam, or chatas avodas chavim, or any of the other chayav ritrisis where a person brings a chatas, they're all accomplishing the same basic purpose. They're all being the chatas for the avera that he did. As opposed to the chatas of a nazir, or the chatas of a mitzora, those are not really fundamentally to be mechaper for an avera. Okay, there's a certain degree of avera involved in there because he prevented himself from having wine or because he spoke lashon hara, but he's not fundamentally bringing mechatas because of those averas. He's bringing it in order to be machsher himself in the case of a nozer so that he can start drinking wine again and being the time of a mess and whatever. In the case of a mitzora, that he should be able to enter the mitzvah and eat kodshin. So when you say dahani olus bahadayim ninu, again, there's really two different gerasaris that are blended together over here. Either dahani olus bahadayu, these have olus that come along with them. So therefore, in other words, they're not a pure chatas. They're not a pure chatas. People therefore may think that if he shechted the chatas chelev, for example, having in mind that it's a chatas of another, people are going to think, well, people are not going to realize there's a distinction between shechting it as a chatas of another versus the oila of another. And that would cause them to think that a chatas that's shechted as an oila is tosher. And we don't want that. That's one way. The other way is hani olus ninhu, that essentially these chatos, even though they have the name chatas and they have the dinim of a chatas, in essence, they're a type of oila. In the sense that, again, they're not coming to be machaper for an avera, they're coming to make him be able to do certain things that he couldn't do before. So again, either l'rabbanan, according to the gears that we have in front of us, or not l'rabbanan, we're talking within Rav Shimon, according to Son Kachin, we're saying that there would be a difference between the different types of chatas. So either the Rabbanon who don't hold of those Torah Chatas would hold, therefore, that if you have, that if you did a Chatas Chelev for a different Aveda, then fine, we could accept that, but not a Chatas Chelev for a Chatas Nazir, for example. Or we would say, according to Rav Shimon, even though he holds of those Torah Chatas, he would still distinguish between different types of Chatas as well, between the types that are for Aveda versus the types that are to be matched the person.
How can you holds for different types of chatas,
because he can say that either we make a zera and tassel it, because we don't want people to think that if it's kosher in this case, then it's also kosher if it's shechted l'shem ola, or because he would say, even though these things are chatas, fundamentally they're serving the purpose of an ola, really. So therefore, they can't, in a certain sense, be considered a chatas.
But they are.
But in a way, they're not. And the Gemara continues, by the way, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Masni L'Kulul P'sula, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava has a different version of what Rava said, that it's not that a chatas chelev that's shechted as a chatas dam, etc., is kosher. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava learns in what Rava said that all of them are posel, because when it says v'shochat oisa l'chatas, because when the pasuk says he should shech it as a chatas, implying the same oisa chatas, he has to be shechting it and doing the other avodas for the sake of the very same avera that it was brought for. And that, in fact, is the halacha. So ultimately, then, the halacha would be that a chatas chelev, first of all, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, but we're saying, even if we said before that the Rabbanon, even if we wanted to say that Rava would say that the Rabbanon would accept that distinction, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava learns differently and say that Rabbanon don't accept any such distinctions at all. Any chatas that's shechted in the name of any other chatas is possible, regardless whether it's a chatas for an aveira, regardless whether it's a chatas to be matched. So a chatas chelev that's shechted as a chatas dan, even though they're both chatas for aveira, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava learns that it would be possible, and that, in fact, is the way that I'm
aligned. And the
chatas, same thing. If we were to shack the chatas nozer, having in mind the chatas and the same thing. Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that.
Fine. Okay. We're not asking whether we like it or not. We're learning Torah. We should have a little bit. Let's go on. Okay.
We should have
a little bit. It's not. It's a discussion of opinion. But it's not. But it's not our business. Do I like this? Do I don't like this? The Gemara has harsh things to say about it. It's all part of Chokhmah of the Tzonah, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, whatever. It's all part of Chokhmah of the Tzonah, Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. We use it. We use our brain to understand it. But I like this and I don't like that. It's all part of Torah. It's not concern whether we like it or whether we don't like it. Okay. Let's go on. So that's Rava's answer again. So that's Rava's answer to explain Rav Shimon. That there's a difference between whether he did a mincha l'shem mincha or mincha l'shem zevach. Mincha l'shem mincha, Rav Shimon would say it's kosher. Mincha l'shem zevach, he would say it's kosher. So again, we tried saying, would the same logic apply to chatois? We said maybe, but we said Rav Acha Brezi Rava says that ultimately it doesn't work. It doesn't work for chatois anyway. It doesn't work across chatois anyway. Okay, onward. Third answer, Rav Ashi Yomer. Rav Ashi says here is a third way to reconcile Rav Shimon's two statements. Loi kasha, kan bekoimet machvas l'shum mar cheshet. One is where he has in front of him a minchas machvas, and he takes the koimet from it, saying or thinking that I'm doing it as a mar cheshet, without even using the word mincha. So therefore, again, what he's saying essentially is meaningless. This is not a mar cheshet, it's a mincha that was made in a mar cheshet. Therefore, what he said is sam shtus, and therefore we ignore it. Can the koimet minchas machmas l'shum minchas machashet? As opposed to, if he has in front of him a minchas machmas, and he says, I'm taking the koimet, having in mind that it's a minchas machashet, well, saying minchas machashet has significance. He's calling it a different kind of mincha. Therefore, that has significance, and Reb Shimon would agree that's possible. In other words, so to type it out, the Gemara says, machvas l'shum marcheshes, if it was a minchas machvas, and he says that it is a marcheshes without using the word mincha, then it's not a problem because the mona kamachashev, because then he's only thinking or speaking about a different kind of keli. He's calling it a marcheshes instead of a machvas, or machshava, the mona, like posla. Thinking that it's a different keli doesn't possible it because that's gamshu. Rashi uses the expression on days on the days when we first started saying it, divrei ruach ba'almanin, you know, which sounds like windy words, windy talk. It doesn't mean anything.
Hot air,
yeah. Minchas machlas, which is minchas marcheshes, but if he takes from minchas machlas saying or thinking that it is a minchas marcheshes, then the mincha, the pasul, the machshava, the machashes, then he's thinking about a mincha, where a mincha can be pasul by a machshava, and he's thinking about a mincha, and therefore that's to make it pasul. So that takes care of the two statements of Rav Shimon. Okay, so we still have to explain what Rav Shimon's wording. Rav Shimon had used the reason why a mincha is kosher if it's shaloi l'shma, because he said with a mincha each type is prepared differently, the dry ones versus the raw ones versus the baked versus the fried, etc. So how does that fit with Rav Ashi's answer that we're talking about thinking of the keli versus the mincha? The answer is hachakam. Okay, but what Rav Ashi would say, what Rav Shimon means, is as follows. Afa gav de machshava min thirti, even though it is a machshava that is recognizable, or Shita Mekubetis changes it to deloy min thirti, that's not recognizable, and here we're using not recognizable in the same sense that Rava used it, that it's not recognizable as true, because in fact it's recognizable as false. Even though it's a machshava that is false, it's possible. Nevertheless, it's possible for the same reason that Rav Shimon had said. The fact that it's obviously possible is reason. The fact that it's obviously wrong is reason. Is reason to pass it. This is according to Rav Ashi we're talking about.
Right.
Even Rav Ashi's understanding of Rav Shimon, that the fact that Maaseh Mechicha Nalel is more of a reason to passel it, because by using the same logic, using the same underlying logic as Rava said, the more obviously false the statement is, the more reason it is to passel it. As opposed to, if he thinks of a Keli, okay, a Keli is not even something that can be passel by Machshava. Because Rava was saying Mincha L'Shum Mincha versus Mincha L'Shum Zevach. Rav Ashi is saying Mincha L'Shum Mincha, which is possible, versus mincha l'shem keli, which is kosher, because a keli is not something to which shinui hashem even applies. So therefore, it's just divrei ruach. Okay. And so what does he mean, omai al v'zvachim enekein? So according to Rav Ashi, what does Rav Shimon mean when he says by zvachim, by animal korbanos, it's not like that. He says it means like this. afagab, the shchitachas kolam, zrikachas kolam, kabalachas kolam, even though it is true that all animal korbanos are shechted essentially the same way, with the, okay, we said before, north versus south, but still, the shchita itself is the same, and the zrika is done essentially the same way, and the kabbalah is done essentially the same way. Nevertheless, the zricha, the pasul bay, machshava, kamachashiv. Nevertheless, he's thinking of zricha, which is, of the shchita, he's thinking during the shchita, which is something in which machshava can pasul. So therefore, therefore, that is reason to passel it. Again, as long as he's thinking of something that machshava is capable of passeling, then Rav Ashi says Rav Shimon will say it's possible. As opposed to if he's thinking or saying something that to which machshava doesn't even apply, namely a keli, then we ignore what he says. We just call it Jibre Ruach. However, Rav Acha Brei de Rava asked Rav Ashi, according to your explanation, fine. So that'll work. Let's say, for example, if he does a minchas machvas saying this is a marcheshes. But what about chareva mishum blula? My omer of Shimon. What about if he has in front of him a dry mincha, meaning one that doesn't have oil in it, either the minchas soita or the minchas soita. And he says, I'm doing the kmitza l'shem blula, having in mind a mixed mincha, one that's mixed with oil. Then why would Rav Shimon say that it would count? There you can't say that he's thinking of the keli. There he's evidently thinking of the mincha itself. Because he's using the word blula. Amalei, Rav Ashi answers him, l'shem bila ba'alma. Because you can say the word, since he didn't use the word mincha blula, then again we can call it divrei ruach. It's as if he's saying, it amounts to him saying, I'm doing the knitza having in mind that this is something mixed. Again, he's not using the word mincha, so therefore he's thinking of something else that's mixed to which machshava is not relevant. So therefore it's essentially the same thing as thinking of the keli.
Just like he says the machshavah.
So just as if he's just said marcheshet, where it means he's having in mind the keli rather than the korban, the same thing. When he says blula, he's having in mind something mixed. Not the korban. Otherwise, he would have said mincha blula. Okay, the question is, yihachi v'shum shlomim nami. In that case, you could use the same logic. If he were to do the kmitza, having in mind that it's for the sake of a shlomim, you could argue the same thing. V'shum shlomim ba'alma. He's doing it having in mind to make shalom between myself and Hashem. So you could argue the same thing. He's not meaning a different korban. Why, according to Rav Shimon, should it be possible? The answer is hachi ashta. What kind of a comparison is that? In the case of a shlomim, it's true, the word shlomim can be an adjective, but it can also be a noun, the name of a korban. It's the actual name of the korban is shlomim. The Siva Makiv is Dama Shlomim, Azarik is Dama Shlomim. Hacha, whereas over here, mincha gufa mi ikri blula. Over here, the mincha itself is not just called blula. Blula is an adjective that applies to the word mincha. B'chol mincha blula b'shemen. See, the pasuk mentions any mincha that is blula, that's mixed with oil. Or v'chareva, or that's dry. Meaning blula b'shemen ikri. So the mincha can be called as an adjective. This is a mincha that's mixed with oil. Blula stama la ikri. You don't have the mincha itself is not called by the name blula. So therefore, Rav Shimon can well say, according to Rav Ashi, he's understanding that if he said that Rav was having in mind that this is a blula, then that doesn't mean anything. If only if he said that that's a mincha blula, would it be meaningful?
The blula b'shemen?
Well, if he says, it doesn't matter whether he says b'shemen or not. If he says mincha blula versus if he just says blula. Okay. So that's it. B'chol mincha blula b'shemen. Blula b'shemen ikri, the mincha is called mixed with oil, blula stama la ikri, but the mincha itself is not called blula. Blula is an adjective rather than a noun, unlike shlomim, for example, is a noun. Okay. So far we've had three answers to explain Rav Shimon. So now we have to deal with why does each Lamaroyim have to find it necessary to each give the different answers. So the Gemara says, Kula k'rabba loy amri, the other two Amoroyim, Rava and Rav Ashi, don't want to accept Rava's answer, which is, again, we said that Rava says that there's a difference between whether he does a shinui that's blatantly, obviously false versus one that's not so obviously false, shini Hashem versus shini Bailam. They don't accept that because they say da'adara, because they argue on the contrary. Machshava de minkara pasa rachmana. Because they say, as Rava said, and as Rav Ashi accepts the logical, so the more obviously false the machshava, that's more reason to passel it. Because we don't want people to think that you're allowed to think machshavas that are wrong when it comes to kashrus. So therefore, they can't accept Rava's shita. to Rava Loi Amri. Next, they can't, Rava and Rav Ashi cannot accept Rava's answer, that it's a difference whether he does Mincha L'Shem Mincha or Mincha L'Shem Zevach. They don't accept that because V'zoyz Torah, like Mashmalu, they don't accept the limud from the word V'zoyz Torah, so we should say Torah Achas L'Cholam Menachos. They don't accept that. Or they would say, okay, V'zoyz Torah Mincha teaches us other dinim, but it doesn't teach us this concept that you can substitute a coincidence of Shimon, one Mincha for another, and it still be kosher. Kid of Ashen, because they say it says V'zoyz Torah, but especially because we said before, we have the question on V'zoyz Torah Chatzos. We said that the same logic should apply to a Chatzos. We don't find Rav Shimon making such a distinction. So we said before, maybe Rav Shimon would accept such a distinction, but we don't find that anywhere. We don't find any place where Rav Shimon says that if you shechted a Chatzos Chelev, the same, a different Chatzos, that it should be kosher. We don't find such a concept. So therefore, that we can't say it applies by Zoyz Torah Chatzos. Therefore, Rabba and Rav Ashi say we can't accept that it should apply to the Mincha. And Kedav Ashi Loyami, and Rabba and Rava don't want to accept Rav Ashi's answer. Mishum Kosher de Rav Acha Brei de Rava. Because, after all, you have Rav Acha Brei de Rava's question on it. What about the Mincha Chareva versus Blula? Okay, you have Rav Ashi answering that Blula is an adjective, whereas, for example, Shlomim is a noun. They don't accept that distinction. The fact is, if you were to say, I'm having in mind that this is a Blula, on the face of it, you're not having in mind a Keli. On the face of it, you're having in mind a type of Mincha. And that's something to which Machshava applies. And therefore, they don't want to accept Rav Ashi's answer on that question. Because again, Rav Acha Brei de Rava is asking, it's one thing if he says a keli, it's one thing if he says machvas or machesheth, it's another thing if he says a type of mincha, blula versus kareva, why should Rav Shimon say it's kosher? So Rav Ashi is answering him, okay, because there's a difference between nouns and adjectives, but Rabba and Rava consider that to be a weak answer. So therefore, they have to come up with their own answer. Okay. Next, the Gemara continues. Milsa de Pshitale le Rabba la Hai Gisa. Now, so far we've had that Rabba takes as a given in one direction, that the more obviously false the Machshava is, the less likely it is to pass over the carbon. When does it pass off? It's not so blatantly obviously false. So Rabba takes it in that way. Or the Rava la Hai Gisa, whereas Rava, we said, takes it in exactly the other direction, that he says the more obviously false it is, the more it passes over carbon. That particular detail, Miboyalei l'Rav Hoshea. Rav Hoshea actually has a doubt about that. Which one do we accept? Do we say that the more obviously false it passes, or the less obviously false it passes? Namely, it's one or the other. The boy Rav Hoshea, namely Rav Hoshea, asked the question. The Amila Bominate Rav Hoshea Miravasi, or some say that Rav Hoshea didn't just ask the question, he asked it to Rav Ashi, Mincha l'shum zevach ma'omali Rav Shimon. If the person takes the koimetz from the mincha, having in mind that it's for the sake of somebody who needs a zevach, who needs a korban, what would Rav Shimon say? Do we say, as Rav Hoshea asks, time that Rav Shimon mishum machshava de mincha relay posla, do we say that Rav Shimon is saying that the less obvious the falsity of it doesn't pass through, which is similar to what Rava said. Here, mincha l'shem zevach is clearly blatantly false, because it's obviously not a zevach, and therefore, if we accept Rava's position, we would say Rav Shimon would agree it's pasul. Or maybe Rav Shimon's reason is because it says v'zoyz taras amincha, also like Rava said, the zevach likes it. It doesn't say v'zoyz taras amincha v'zevach. So therefore we can't apply from mincha to a zevach. So what is it? Amalei, so Rav Ashi answers him. Do you think we reached the bottom of what Rav Shimon of Rav Shimon's logic? In other words, we don't really understand what Rav Shimon is saying. We have various answers that we've used to find for Rav Shimon to reconcile his two brises, but says Rav Ashi, we really don't understand what Rav Shimon's rationale is. Therefore, we can't answer the question. So that's what we mean. That Rav Hoshea had the question; he wasn't sure which one of these theoretical viewpoints of Rav Shimon to accept. And that's why he had a question.
And we're answering for this
one. So we're answering, the answer is, there's no way of knowing, because we don't know for sure what Rav Shimon holds. Which means, in other words, effectively, it means that Rav Ashi and Rav Hoshea, apparently, say that none of the previous three answers on Rav Shimon are acceptable. Now, why is that? to Rabba, like Mishani, like, he doesn't want to answer like Rabba, Mishum Kosha Da Abaye, because we had a bias question on it, that again, you know, we said on Rabba's explanation, we had, if a machshava passes, then what's the difference whether it's a machshava that's obvious or not? And Rabba answers because Rav Shimon used the Svara. The fact is, it's a kasha, and Rav Asi and Rav Hoshi have felt that that's a strong enough kasha to slug up what Rabba said.
What's the kasha?
The kasha was, we said that when we started saying that Rabba said there's a difference between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim, Abaya asked him if after all the whole concept of Machshava Pasul in the Torah, if we're learning it from a Hekesh, if we're learning it either from a Hekesh of if we're learning it from the Hekesh of Kachatas Ka'asham, or from the Hekesh of Zoypa Torah, either way it should apply across the board. What's the difference one Machshava versus another? So Rabba's answer is that Rav Shimon is using time of Dikra, he's using a Svara, and therefore using that to limit it. Rav Hoshia and Rav Asi don't accept that logic. And for that matter, I mean, we had anyway, but we said before, there's another reason to question Rabba's logic anyway, because we said Rava and Rav Ashi both pointed out that the more false it is, that should be more reason to pass all the Torah, unlike Rabba's position. Okay,
so they don't accept
Rabba because of Abaya's kasha, because Abaya asked that there shouldn't really be a difference between one Machshava and another. He didn't want to answer like Rava, again, because you have the problem that if you say Zoris Teres HaMincha, you'd also have to say Zoris Teres HaChatas. And again, we don't find Rav Shimon saying that one type of Chatas is valid as a different type of Chatas. And Rav Ashi, Le Mishani, Le Mishum Kushir, Rav Acha Breid Rava. And again, he didn't want to answer like Rav Ashi because you have Rav Acha Breid Rava's question on it, that why should it be kosher if he says a Chareva is a Blula or vice versa? So Rav Asi, and Rav Hoshia are left with, there's no valid way of reconciling Rav Shimon's two statements. So the bottom line is we don't really know what Rav Shimon holds. Therefore, we can't answer Rav Hoshia's question. Okay. So that's that then. So the Maskana we have four different ways of dealing with the contradiction within Rav Shimon's statement. We have Rabba's way, which is machshava de minkara versus not, if it's obviously false versus not so obviously false. We have Rava's that if it's a thought within Minachas, then it's kosher because those teres are mincha, but if it's a thought from a mincha to another korban, then it's possible. We have Rav Ashi's that if it's a difference whether he thought about something to which machshava applies or not. He had in mind a keli versus he had in mind a mincha. And then we have Rav Asi and Rav Hoshia, who don't accept any of those three answers, and they're just left with a contradiction between the two statements of Rav Shimon. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, chutz mimincha's chote or mincha's knos. We said in the Mishnah that the exception among menachos is the mincha's chote that a person brings for a korban olu v'yored, and the mincha's knos, the mincha that a sota brings, those we said, if he has in mind shalo l'shma, then they're possible. Completely possible, not that they kosher and don't count for the owner, but completely possible. We stop things right there, we take them and burn them, and we start over again. So, where do we know that from? So the Gemara says, Bishleim of Minchas Chota, I can understand why in the case of the Minchas Chota, the case of the Mincha for the Korban Ol V'Yored, why it should be possible if it's Shaloi L'Shma, because Chatas Tari Rachmana, so the Pasuk calls it a Chatas. Essentially, that's what it is. It's a special type of Chatas, except that instead of a regular Chatas, is always an animal, a female sheep or a female goat. Here, the Torah gives them a break and allows them to bring a cheaper Korban.
A Mincha,
in this particular case. But nevertheless, fundamentally, it is a Chatas. And therefore, the rules of a Chatas should apply to it. The Pasuk says, well, Yosim alayah shaman v'leit and alayah levayna, he shouldn't put oil on it, he shouldn't put levayna on it, he's chatas, he, because it's a chatas. So then the rules of a chatas apply to it. And a chatas, we learned in Zvachim, is pasul shalai v'shma, so therefore minchas chayta also. Ela minchas knois menolan, but where do we know the same concept applies to the minchas knois, to the mincha of the sota? The answer is, the Toni Tana Kameder of Nachman. It's like this. A Tana taught a braise in front of Rav Nachman as follows. Minchas knois moisora nedaba. Now, like this, you have a concept we've learned a number of times in Zvachim that you can have a case where you have leftover money from a korban. For example, a person was obligated to bring a chatas. They set aside money for the purpose, and then it turned out the korban didn't cost quite as much as they thought. What are you supposed to do with the rest of that money? You have also moisor asham. You have a number of such cases. That money goes to nedaba. the Mishnah in Shkolim tells us that it's actually a drasha that Yahyada Kohen Gadol in the middle of the first Beis Hamikdash, Darshan, based on a pasuk in Chumash, that when you have such a case, Moiso Chasas and Moiso Asham and Moiso of a number of similar cases, then you put it into Nedava. Then you put it into Nedava. We learned about it in Zvach, and we learned about it here and there in other places also. Well, originally in Shkolim, but that, several years ago, So what you do is, eventually that money is used for kayak and zeach. They use it to buy animals for olus that are going to be offered during slack season, times when there's not many korbanos being brought. The meat of them is burnt on the mizbeach, like any ola. The skin of them goes to the kohenim, also like any ola. And that way you accomplish that bosal hashem va'olus for kohenim. So that way, both the mizbeach and the kohenim benefit from this case. So now, the Tana learns in front of Reb Nachman, in a similar way, minchas knos moson and adaba. By the same token, when it comes to the minchas knos, same thing. In other words, if he set aside a certain amount of money for the minchas knos, and it turned out he had more money than he needed, or he set aside flour for it, and it turns out there's more flour than is needed, then that goes to adaba. Rashi over here says, by the way, that Nadava means the same thing as we were saying before, that it goes to Kayat and Azbeah. The Rambam actually learns differently. The Rambam holds that it means it goes to a Minchas Nadava. It means it goes towards buying, the money should be used towards buying a voluntary Mincha that the person is going to bring individually. Anyway, the point is that, therefore, Amalei, so when the Tana says this over to Reb Nachman, Amalei, so Reb Nachman tells him, Shafer Kalmut, what you said is good, it's true. And we know that because Mazkeres Oven Ksivva, because like this, the pasuk calls the Minchas Knois, it uses an expression in it that it's Mazkeres Oven, that it's a remembrance of the Avera, the Avera either that she may have actually been Mizana with the person that she suspected of, or at least that she was secluded with him. So it uses the word Oven. By the Chatas, you also have the word Avoin, namely in Parshas Shmini, when Moshe is yelling at Elazar in summer for burning the Chatas, that we talked about in Zvachim. And he said over there, Hashem gave it to you to take away the Avoin, the sins of the congregation. So we have a Zer Shavah from the two words Avoin. Ma chatos moisra nedava, ach minchas knois moisra nedava. So just like a chatos, we know from Yahyada's medrash, from Yahyada's drasha, that you use the money to buy olas. The same thing when it comes to the minchas knois, because it says the word oven by both of them. And once we have that comparison, then v'kachatos, then we would say in that sense, therefore minchas knois is like a chatos in another sense also. Ma chatos stola shalei lishma, ach minchas knois stola shalei lishma. So the rule shalei lishma would apply to both of them. Question then becomes, Elamayata, okay, but if you're going to say that way, Asham Yehet Pasol Shalei Lishmai, by the same logic, you should argue that an Asham should also be Pasol if you do any of the four Avodas Shalei Lishmai. Gagama Avon Avon Mechata, because after all, by the Asham, it also uses the word Avon. It uses the word Avon Noi, to be exact. So you should have a Zer Shalom. By the Asham, it says, by the Asham Toluri, for example, it says, Velo Yadav Asham Menasa Avon Noi. So you have the same word Avon. And the answer is not exactly the same word. Degama oven, oven, mechapas. Right. So you should think to learn oven, oven, mechapas. The answer is no. Zeta Shlava doesn't work that way. Don in oven, me oven, then don in avoin, noi me oven. No, because you can learn the word oven from the other word oven. So you can learn oven by the minchas soita from the oven by chapas. You can't learn oven, you can't learn avoin, noi by the asham from oven by the chapas. So the answer is, the Gemara says, what do you mean? My Nafkamina? What do you mean? What are you telling me you can't do a Gzeder Shava if the words aren't exact? I can even give you an example where you do a Gzeder Shava with not even the same Shurish. We have the famous Tanad Ve'ed Abishmol, which is brought in many places in Shas, that we have a Gzeder Shava when it comes to Saras of houses, where the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, Uvah HaKoyin, that the Koyin comes and sees that the Saras is spread, and a few Pasukim later it says, Vashav HaKoyin, that the Koyin returns, and it doesn't say clearly what he does in that case. Shav and Ba are two different Shoshin, and we still say Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. We say the same rules apply to the Shiva as to the Bia, which means what it boils down to, in other words, is the Torah tells us that if at the end of that what you do is, so a house has Tzaraas, you close it up for a week, and then you look what happened after a week. Did the Tzaraas spread or not? So if it's spread, the Pasuk tells us, when the Kohen returns after a week, he sees that, if the Kohen comes, rather, after a week, he sees the Tzaraas is spread, so you take off the plaster, you take out the stones, you replace the stones, you put on new plaster, and you wait another week. Then the Pasuk says that you wait another week and the Kohen comes back, and it doesn't explicitly say, the next thing the Pasuk says is that the Kohen returns and sees that the Tzaraas is spread and tears down the house. But actually, we say that it's not so simple. And we learn by this Zera Shav, from Shav and Ba, that if the Tzaraas, now you can have at the end of the first week, there's various possibilities, right? The Tzaraas could have disappeared at the end of the first week, then fine. Or it could have stayed exactly the same size, or it could have spread. If it stayed exactly the same size, then we close up the house for another week. Then at the end of the second week, we see if it spread. And then if it did, then you take off the plaster and take out the stones and so forth. If it didn't spread. So yeah, those are like 10 different cases. The maximum is 3 weeks. By the end of the 3 weeks, either the Tzaraas has gone away or it's returned and you tear down the house. The Mishnah and Nagoya mentions there's 10 different cases altogether, but the point is that we learn by Exeda Shabbat that the same thing the Torah tells us at the end of the first week, that you take off the plaster and take out the stones and so forth, the same thing can happen at the end of the second week if it only started spreading at the end, if it only spread during the second week. And we learn Exeda Shabbat even though the words are completely different. So what's the problem learning Exeda Shabbat from Avoinoi to Avoin? But oi, and not only that, I'll find you another case where you have the word avoinoi in connection with a chatas. Ligmar avoinoi may oven de shmei sakol. How about we could argue that an asham should be posel shalai de shmei because we can learn exeda shava using the word avoinoi that it says in connection with the korban ol v'yored. Where again, we're saying the korban ol v'yored is essentially a type of chatas. And there it uses the expression, im lo yagid, me oven de shmei sakol, namely from the Avera, it says over there where a person was shmei sakol, which we learned about in Shavuos, where a person was asked to give Eidus in Basin, and he swears that he doesn't know anything about it. So then later on when he does Tshuva, he brings a korban, and the Pasuk says, im lo yagid, if he doesn't say the Eidus in Basin, v'nosa avoino, then he bears his guilt. So you have the word, exact word, avoino, that it says by an asham. So why can't we learn that Zera Shabbat, therefore, and say that just like... That's the question. You're telling me that we're learning Avoin by the same logic. We should learn Avoin Noi, and say that just like with a Korban Oil V'yored, it's possible to Shalai L'Shmai. So also we should say by the Osham, it should be possible Shalai L'Shmai. Now, so the answer is never mind all that. Ella, no, we're taking all that back. We're taking all that back. We're saying like this. Ella, we're saying that we're not learning from Avon Avon. Ki Gamri Gzeda Shava, when we learn to begin with the Gzeda Shava from the word Avon Avon that we mentioned before, we're only learning it strictly the most in a Dava or the Gamri. We only learned that Gzeda Shava regarding the concept of most in a Dava. This that the Tana had said before in front of Reb Nachman, that just like with the Chassas, the leftovers go to Nadava, so also it is with the Korban of the Sota. That is the only thing we're meant to learn from that Zera Shava, Ovin and Ovin. So never mind what we said before, that we're also using that Zera Shava to learn that just like the Chassas is possible, Shalai L'Shmai, so is the Minchas Sota. Now we're taking that back. We're only using that Zera Shava, Ovin, strictly for the purpose of dealing with the Mois and Adava. No. We're saying that to begin with, when we learned the Zera Shava. We have the rule. Ain't Adam done Gzeda Shava Mass. No, you can't douse in a Gzeda Shava on your own. When we received the Kabbalah, the Gzeda Shava, Ovein Ovein, it was only regarding the Mois and Adava. It was not meant to teach us anything about Shalai L'Shmai. So the question is, well, why not? The Chitema ain't Gzeda Shava L'Mechza. You could argue, once you have a Gzeda Shava, you don't do things by halves. Once you have a Gzeda Shava, you're meant to learn everything possible using the Gzeda Shava. The answer is no.
Is that correct? Is that true?
That's what we're asking. Usually we have a concept, the Gemara asks, Ein Gzeda Shava L'Mechza. Your Gzeda Shava doesn't go by halves. Once you have a Gzeda Shava between two things, then you apply other things that it says by one to the other. The answer is no. In this case, Gali Rachmona Gabi Chassas. Yes, but the Torah, on the other hand, tells us specifically when it comes to the Chassas, it uses the expression, the Shachat Oisa L'Chassas. It says you should treat it as a Chassas. And the Oisa is a mute. Oisa L'Shmach Treda, Shalai L'Shmach Sola, only by it, by the Chassas, are we saying that it's possible Shalai L'Shmach. But Abba Kol Kodshim Ben L'Shman Ben Shalai L'Shman Treda. Other Kodshim, that rule doesn't apply. So So therefore, in other words, yes, we would normally say that the Zera Shava Ava and Ava and teaches us that whatever applies to the Chassas applies to the Mincha Pnei. Therefore, we could have used that, we could have thought to use that to learn about Shelo Lishma. But we're saying no, the fact that it says Oisa by the Chassas means that the rule of Shelo Lishma only applies to a Chassas and nothing else. So now we're back to the question, you know, a minchas kota or minchas knos, if so, which one we're not on. Okay, well then we're back to, so where do we know that the minchas kota and minchas knos are possible to the shalom
Shema?
If you say that it applies only to the chata. Now, some of the mafoshim learn that the fact is, we said at the beginning, the minchas kota is called a chata. It's fundamentally a type of chata, just the Torah gave him a break on the price. Therefore, the Gemara is not really asking so much about the minchas kota now, it's really only asking about the minchas knos. Other mafoshim say,
Minchas
Knos is not a chassas, no.
It's a real mincha.
Yeah. On the other hand, you have some of the mafoshim learn that, no, once we establish that a shach of oisav a chassas, which is talking about a chassas of an animal, which is shechted, then we can very well go back and ask and then say that in that case we don't really have a source for the minchas Knos either, just because the Torah called it a chassas doesn't mean anything, because on the other hand you have the shach of oisav a chassas. Okay. So the answer is, no, like, chassas time and mind. So, okay, let's answer like this. The reason why, where taka do we know that a chassas is possible shalai l'shmai? Mishum dichtib ba hi. Because the Torah says, and that's the word hi. The pasuk says, chassas hi. Well then, hachinami hachdib ba hu. Well then, by the minchas kota and by the minchas knois, by both of them, the pasuk also says hi. By the minchas kota, and therefore, so if we're saying that hi by the chassas means l'shma kosher shalai l'shma possible, it has to be what it is, not that you had in mind something else. Then the same, it says by hi by the chassas. So, okay. So what it is like this. By the chassas, the pasuk says chassas he, and it is from that that we learn that if the only when the chassas is he, only when it's in its original state, not that you had in mind something else, then it's a chassas. If not, then it's false. The same thing by the minchas chote, the pasuk also says chassas he, and by the minchas knois, the pasuk also says minchas knois he. So therefore, the same rule applies to all three of them.
And only these three.
And only these three. Huh. So the question then becomes, Osham Nami Hoksib Behu. Okay, but if you're going to go like that, by the Osham, it also says the word Hu. Okay, by the Chassas and the other two, it says He because it's Loshin Nekeva. But Mincha and Chassas are Loshin Nekeva. Osham is Loshin Zacho, so the parallel word is Hu. But you do have a pasuk that says Osham Hu. So why don't we say the same thing, that an Osham is pasuk Shalom Shmei? The answer is, Hafu Hu La'achach Torah Se'imurin Hu Dechtib. True, but that, we learned it in Zvachim, yeah. We learned it in Zvachim, the Gemara is repeating it over here. That, yes, but that word hu, that it says by the Osham, does not say it at the beginning, before the Osham is brought. It only mentions it after it talks about burning the Emurim on the Mizbeach. The Hikter Oisma Koyin HaMizbeach, the Koyin should burn them on the Mizbeach, Isha Hashem, and the fire offering for Hashem, Osham hu, it is an Osham. Only there are we saying the word Osham hu. So that's after HaKtorah Emurim. And, and we learn in a braisa. Therefore, that cannot teach us anything about that if you did the avodas of an osham shaloi lishmoi, that it should be possible. The braisa says, "Avol osham le'nemar by who el la'achar aktoras emurin." By the osham, it only says who after the emurim are burned. And it doesn't even, because who atma shaloi hukter emurim kosher. But the fact is, with a korban, we learned in zvachim, all you need is the four avodas for a korban to be kosher. If afterwards the emurim were never offered on the mizbeach, the korban still kosher, because the korban is still medaseh. So therefore, you can't say that osham hu is teaching us anything about shaloi lishma. We have to say that osham hu is teaching us something else, which we're going to say now what it is. Rashi and Zvachim point that you do have another hu that it says by osham. The pasuk starts off by saying, "Zos teres osham kodesh kadoshim hu." Why don't we learn from that? The answer is, Rashi says, because when do we darshan the word hu or the word he? Only if it's immediately adjacent to the name of the korban. Chassas he, minchas knois he. If osham hu is one thing, but we're saying that osham hu, it only says after aktaras emurim. Here it's the zos teres osham kodesh kadoshim hu. So that hu has nothing to do with shalashmoy and shalashmoy.
Agree,
yeah, Tosfos didn't disagree with that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, everybody agreed. We learned in Vafim, actually. We did say over there that Rabbi Eliezer had held that the Osham is also possible, Shaloi Lishmai. However, we said the Halacha is not like it. Fine. Next. The El of Hu Lomoli. Okay, so what are we using the word of Hu? When it says, Isha Lashem Osham Hu, what are we doing with that word of Hu? The answer is Lachad Rav Huna. We're using it to teach us what Rav Huna says. Lachad Rav Huna Amarah. What?
Who?
Yeah. Look at your namely, Osham Shinitak Lariya. So like this, we've learned before that we've learned several times in Zvachim that you have cases of Chatois Hamesis, you have cases where a Chata has to be left to die, where you have, for example, the owner was ready to scatter with another animal, or it's too old, or it's a Vlav Chata, you have five cases where the way to remember them is the word Betimna, as in Betimna Hosefilagish, Vlav Chata, Tmura Chata, Mesu Bala, Niskafu Bala, and Ovrashnasa. Zitimna. The vav is vlad. The top is tmuras chatas, where you made a tmura. The mem is meisubaleh. There's no yud. The mem is meisubaleh. The owner died before the chatas could be brought. The nun is niskafrubaleh ba'achah. The owner already used a different animal for their kapara. And the ayin is ovrashnasa. The animal is already over a year old. So in all those cases, those are the five chataris on basis. We'll learn about them more in tmura. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, Tim doesn't actually die, but yeah. Okay. Anyway. No. Oh, eventually she died. I mean, she's not still alive, but yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, she was still alive long enough to give birth to Amalek.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway. Onward. Okay. The point is, we have a halacha l'moshe Sinai that tells us that in all the parallel cases with an asham, if the same thing were to happen with an asham, instead of leaving it to die, you leave it to graze until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and use the animal to buy an oila. So that's called nitak l'ri'ida. That's called that it was pulled away to go and graze. Over here and in other place, over here and in other places, Rashi and Tosfos discuss what does nitak mean. Does it mean that he actually gave it to the owner, to the shepherd? That's how Rashi says over here. Tosfos in some places discusses that it may mean that he just gave, that Beis Din told him to go and do that, whatever it is. So usually we would have that you do nitak, you pull it away from its original status as an ashram, you leave it to graze, etc. So, but Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, ashram shen nitak l'ri'ya, here you have an ashram that was pulled away from its status as an ashram and given over to graze, the shochtei stam, and then later on he goes and just shechts that animal itself, stam, without specifying what korban it is, kosher was from oila. It's kosher as an oila. Now, and the reason is because ultimately that was what was going to happen. The value of it was going to go to buy an oila. And the point is, nitak ein lo nitak lo. The point is, only if it was nitak, only if it had been pulled away. If it had not been nitak, if they hadn't, for example, Rashi says over here, if they hadn't given it to the shepherd yet, and then they shechted it stam, it would not be kosher as an oila because then it's still called an asham. And that's why, because amakra hu, because the pasuk says, asham hu, meaning bahava yasa yehe, it retains its original status.
So only once
nitak, which again, Rashi is saying over here, means it was actually given to the shepherd, only then, if you were to shecht it stam, can it be kosher as an ola. But if you were to shecht it before you actually gave it to the shepherd, then it would actually be possible, because then you're shechting it still as an asham, and you can't, the person was ready in the scapper with another asham. That's what Rashi says over here, a masrul aroya. Again, I'm saying that you have Rashi over here versus in Zvachim, Tosfos discusses does nitak mean actually giving it to the roya, or does it just mean that Beis Din told him to go and do that? Anyway, Tosfos also gets into a long discussion over here. Tosfos learns over here and also in Zvachim that this whole concept that you need nituk in order to change its status is not necessarily on a daraisa level. So Tosfos brings from that Rabbeinu Tam had a different girsa in our Gemara over here that took out the word nitak ein moy nitak loy, and understood it, that the word Isha Lashem, Osham Hu, is teaching us that that animal itself is kosher on the spot to be shechted as an oila.
Before it's even given
to the shepherd or anything. Because Rabbi Natan learns that the whole concept of having to give it to a shepherd is only the Rabban. The Daraisa, you could actually shecht it as a valid oila. We would learn that from the word Osham Hu. Only Midrabban, right. Only Midrabbanon would we say you're supposed to give it to the shepherd. And right. Okay. The point is, that's what we're learning from the Hu in connection with Osham, nothing about Lashmoy and Shalay Lashmoy. Okay, so that's the bottom line. Therefore, is we've learned that the minchas chota and minchas knois are possible shalai l'shmoi because by them, just like by the chatos, it uses the word he, and therefore, just like the chatos is possible shalai l'shmoi, so it is by the other ones also. Wherever it says he in connection with the name of a korban before the zrikas adam, then it means that the korban is possible shalai l'shmoi. That we said also we learned in Zvachim, by the same thing applies to the Pesach also, because the Pesach also says by the Pesach. So we're going to have the word hu next to the word Pesach.
And therefore it's
Therefore it's possible for Lashem. Okay. Nudin, Amar Rav, Rav says, now we learned in the Mishnah that there are only two types of mincha that we set up also if you did the k'mitzah shalai l'shma. We said the mincha s'toita and the mincha s'knas. Now Rav is going to try adding a third one. Amar Rav, mincha sa'omer shekamsa shalai l'shma, the mincha sa'omer, if you took off the k'omer, if you took out the k'omer shalai l'shma, psula, then it would be possible. Meaning we don't say that it's kosher and just it doesn't count and I have to bring another one. It actually becomes possible. Why is that? Horrible boss lahatir below his tutor. Because after all, what's the whole purpose of the omer? The purpose of the omer is in order to be master you to eat chodesh. In this case, it didn't accomplish that because it was shalai l'shma. Therefore, it has no purpose, and therefore it's possible. Therefore, it's possible. With a regular mincha, you did the k'mitzah shalai l'shma. Okay, it's not counting for the owner's chodesh, but it still can count as an adab. Here, there's no, the tzibur doesn't bring a mincha from Java. So therefore, it has no purpose, and therefore it's possible.
You cannot eat the
you can't eat. You can't eat the chodesh. You can't eat chodesh from the new grain crop until the omer is brought. Nowadays, you have to wait until after the day is over. We're going to learn about that on the sixth parak of Amasecht, actually. We're going to learn about the dinim of the omer. We're also going to talk about the dinim of chodesh. But yeah.
Right. The third day you offer
it? Second day of Pesach. Second day of Pesach. Yeah. By the way, in that parak, we're also going to talk about the mitzvah of Sfira, in that connection. Okay. The chain after omer, v'oshem nozir, v'oshem mitzvah sheshachten shalai l'shma. Same way, continues Rav, the same would be true as far as the oshem of the nozir or of the mitzvah, sheshachten shalai l'shma, if you shechted them shalai l'shma, sulin, then they would be possible. Same logic, ho'la bo l'hachshir v'lai hichu, vo l'hachshir v'lai hichu. Because the whole purpose of them is to be master the person to be able to eat korbanos. Actually, Rashi uses the expression over here, lovei b'machne, which is interesting because, what do you mean lovei b'machne? He's allowed to come into the machne long before that, the mitzvah. The mitzvah is allowed to come into the machne long before that, as soon as they do the thing with the two birds. So they have different gear size, they have different gear size. In Rashi, different explanations. I mean, to actually eat kodshim, and then there's an explanation. What does it mean to come into the machna? To come into machna shchina. He can't come into machna shchina until the korban is brought. Anyway, the point is, same logic. Rav is saying those korbanos are not fundamentally for kapara, unlike a regular chatos or osham or what have you. Those are meant for to be master of him. They're not for a neder and a dava either. They're purely in order to be master of him to be able to eat kodshim or to be able to drink wine. So therefore, if they didn't serve their purpose, if they were shalom l'shma, they'd say they're possible.
Right.
Okay. So now let's test what Rav is saying against our Mishnah and see if that works. So now, we learned in our Mishnah, kol menachas shenikmas shalom l'shma k'sheres, we said all menachas, where the k'mitzah was taken shalom l'shma, our kosher, el shalom l'bailam l'shem chayv, but they don't count for the owner's chayv, chos mi minchas chayte or minchas knoit, except for a minchas chayte and except for a minchas knoit. Now, the im issa, if you're telling me that Rav is saying that they're possible. The im issa, if you're going to tell me what Rav is saying, then the Mishnah should have mentioned three exceptions. Minchas chote, minchas snoit, and oimer. The answer is that's not such an objection. Ki katoni ba yochid. Because, first of all, our Mishnah is only mentioning korbanos that are brought by the yochid. Ba simur le katoni. The oimer is a korban simur. So therefore, the Mishnah may not have listed it. Also, Kitoni Ba Biglal Asma. Also, the Mishnah may only be listing things where it's an independent korban. A mincha is an independent thing. You don't bring anything else along with it. Ba Biglal Zebach like Kitoni. But the Minchas Nesachim we're not talking about over here because the Minchas Nesachim is not mitzvah. But as opposed to the Minchas Oimer, it comes along with animal korbanos. You have along with it a Kevis Tomim and a couple of other korbanos. So therefore, you can say the Mishnah is not listing it because it's a different category. And one more, ki katani hanach shein kavur lahem zman. A third reason to say that the Mishnah may not have mentioned the Omer is that the Mishnah is only mentioning korbanos menachos for which there's no fixed time. Hod kavur lozman, whereas opposed to the minchas Omer has a fixed time and has to be brought on the second day of Pesach, loy katani. So the Mishnah may not have mentioned it. So just because the Mishnah has not mentioned it doesn't disprove Rav, because for any of these three reasons the Mishnah may not have mentioned it.
Because there are
no, because we said the Pesach and the Chatos. The Pesach is Kavua in Zman, but fine.
Right, but the Pesach.
So the Pesach is Kavua in Zman, but the Pesach is at the end.
But it is mentioned.
It is mentioned over there, yeah, fine, because they were only mentioning two. You have the Pesach and the Chatos, so it's not going to leave one out because it's not Kavua in Zman. But here we have two, so we're not going to mention, we have two that are in a certain category, Minchas Toita and Minchas Toita. However, Omar, but okay, let's continue with what Rav said. Rav continues and says the same logic applies to the Oshem Nazir and the Oshem Metzora, if they were Shechted Shalodashman, where he says Psulim, they're possible for the same reason, because they're supposed to be Matcher him and they haven't been able to accomplish that, so what purpose are they serving? But let's see. Now, we learned in the first Mishnah of Zvachim, Kol Zvachim Sheshachtem Shalei Lishman Kshayim, all Zvachim, all animal korbanos that were shechted Shalei Lishman Kosher, Elo Shalei Olo Lebailam Lishman Tzayver, but they don't count for the owner's Tzayver, Chus Mi Pesach V'Chatas. We said except for the Pesach and the Chatas. Vim Yisr, now you're telling me, Rab, that you also have that applies to certain Hashamos, listening, I mean, Chutz Ma'ashem Nazir V'Ashem Tzayra, Dibor L'Hachshav Lei Shiru, then why doesn't it mention them as well? Yeah, why doesn't it mention them? And there you can't say because Kavur lands man or whatever. The answer is because those are only two out of six types of Asham. Kiven de ikka Asham Gzeilis va Asham Ne'ilis, because you have four other types of Asham that are for Kapara. For example, Asham Gzeilis, Asham Ne'ila, and the other two, Asham Shacharufa and Asham Tolui, Zila Kapara also. Those are actually coming for Kapara, and those you can say even if that even if you offered them Shalei Lishma, it's true, they're not counting for the owner's chayv, you still have to bring another one. Nevertheless, they still are accomplishing something in that sense. There's still a certain degree of kapara that's being accomplished. And therefore we could say, therefore the Mishnah couldn't have said as a generic statement that except for the Pesach and the Chatas and the Osham, because it would only be, according to Rav, even according to Rav's logic, it's only true for two out of six types of Osham.
And we have
four other ones for which that rule wouldn't apply. Rav would agree that an Osham Gzeilus or Osham Me'ilus or whatever that was Shechted Shalei Lishma would be kosher because it's not only coming L'Hachshav, it's coming L'Chatas. And therefore, a certain degree of kapara was accomplished. So Rabbi Eliezer disagrees because he says kachatas kasha. I'm fine, but the point is that therefore the fact that the Mishnah there in Zvachim doesn't mention an Asham is no contradiction to that, because the only way to say it would have been to specifically mention different types of Asham, right? That would have been too wordy. The Mishnah didn't want to do that. It couldn't say Asham generically because it doesn't apply to all types of Asham. So therefore, it couldn't say Asham in general, and therefore we're meant to understand that it means that the Rav logic that the Bo'ol Ha'achshav Lo Yavshiru
is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the question then is, Maishna Asham Nazir V'Asham Metzora the Bo'ol Ha'achshav Lo Yavshiru. Okay, but what are you saying then? The Asham Nazir and the Asham Metzora, they're supposed to be Makshir, and like this, they didn't accomplish anything as far as being Makshir because they were done Shalei Lishma. You could argue the same thing. Hani Nami Bo'ol Ha'achshav Lo Yavshiru. By the same logic, you could say, why should an Asham Zeilus or an Asham Me'ilus be kosher for Shalei Lishma? Their purpose is to be Mechaper on the person's Avera, and they weren't Mechaper. We do find where the Torah distinguishes between karbonos whose purpose is to be machaper, such as the Oshem Zelus or Oshem Neilus, versus karbonos that are meant to be machshir, such as the Oshem Nazir and Oshem Mesoda. We do find that there is a valid distinction between them, and therefore we can say that machaper means the person did an aveva. He stole, he did me'ila or whatever, and therefore he has to bring a karbonos. As opposed to machshir by the nazir and by the tzara, it's not fundamentally that they did an aveira. Okay, there's a certain degree of aveira involved, fine, but the point is the korban is not really directly tied to an aveira. The korban is in order to make it with the nazir that he should be able to drink wine again, and with that's machshir, and with the tzara that he should be able to eat kodshim and enter the business again, that's machshir. So we see, says Rabbi Yemiya, that we do find a difference in halacha between machshirin and machshirin. Namely, mechaper and isbuhu da'asu la'achamisa. Namely, we find certain korbanos that are meant to be mechaper, where they can still be brought even after the person is dead, even though in kapara lemeisim, even though there's no kapara for a dead person, there's a kapara, at least not with korbanos. In kapara lemeisim, we learned in Zvachim, yeah, that once the person is dead, fundamentally, any kapara that's going to be done is not going to be done through korbanos. But nevertheless, we still see machshirin less behuda also la'achamisa. As opposed to a korban whose purpose is to be machshir, you never find a case where it comes la'achamisa. Namely, the tnai.
And
And therefore, so we can say by the same logic, there's a difference between a korban that was meant for kapara and was offered shelo l'shmo, even though the kapara is not really taking place because it was shelo l'shmo, nevertheless, it still accomplishes something and it can still be brought,
even
as opposed to the machshir, as opposed to the korban of a nazir or a masorah, whose only purpose is to be machshir, and we never find a korban that's machshir that's ever brought after the owner dies. Then we can say by the same logic, using Rav's logic, if it's not accomplishing any machshir, then there's no reason to bring it at all, and therefore it's false.
And
that's the difference. This man, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, we learn in a Mishnah in Kinim, Isha Shevia Chatoso Mesa, if a woman who gave birth brought her chatas, she has to bring a chatas and an ola after this birth, if she brought her chatas, Mesa, and then she died, Yavir Yoshin Olasa, who Yoshin still can or have to bring her Ola, yeah, we learned this in Tzvachim, but I lost her Omeisa, lo yavir Yoshin Chatasa. But if she brought her Ola and then she died, her Yoshin do not bring her Chatas, that is in fact one of the Chatoris Hamesis. And now what's the point? The Chatas is fundamentally what is being Machsher her to eat Kodshim. You have the two Korbanas, the Ola has the purpose of Kapara, the Chatas has the purpose of being Machsher. And you see that the chatas can't be brought after she's dead because that's a machshir, but the oila can be brought after she's dead because that's a machaper. So you see from that there is a difference between machshir and machaper. So therefore, again, using Rav's logic, we can say a korban that's meant to be machaper, even if it didn't actually end up being machaper because of the shaloi l'shma, fine. The same way as you could bring such a korban la'acham misa, even though there's no kapara then. The same way you could bring it even if it was a shaloi l'shma. It's not accomplishing kapara, doesn't matter. But a machshir, a korban, is only meant to be machshir, and therefore, just like you can't bring it after Misa because there's nobody to be machshir anymore, the same way you can't bring it. If it was shaloi l'shma, it's completely possible.
What's the analogy between Misa and?
Because the analogy is there's no hashara possible after Misa. There's no kapara possible after Misa. Nevertheless, we still see that a korban that's machaper can be brought after Misa, but a korban that's machshir cannot. We'll stop now so we can get to my written time, but that's the idea. In other words, is that a korban whose purpose is to be machaper, even if the kapara is not able to happen anymore, either because the owner died or in this case because shelo l'shma, nevertheless it can still be offered, there's still a certain validity in offering it, whereas a korban whose only purpose is to be machsher, you don't bring it after the person died because nobody to be machsher. And you also don't bring it if it's shalom l'shma by the same logic because there's no because not being matched anyway.
It's much of a connection between the separate. I understand between matshir and kapara. There's no kapara lachamisa.
So when, in other words, when there's a korban whose purpose is to be matshir, if it can't be matshir, you don't bring it. That's why we're saying that the yoshim don't bring her chata.
Right.
Whereas a korban whose purpose is to be machaper, even though it can't be machaper because the person is dead, nevertheless, we're still saying that you go ahead and bring it anyway. So we see that even a korban that's meant for kapara can still be brought even when the kapara is not taking place. Whereas a korban whose purpose is achshara cannot be brought if the achshara is not going to be taking place.
Why is a korban that accomplishes kapara can be brought?
Because we're saying that even though the person is dead, nevertheless, there's still the korban still has a purpose. The purpose is okay. It's not accomplishing kapara for this person, but it's still a valid korban. It's still like
what?
Yeah, it's not being a kapara for that person, but it's like I guess there's like a kapara sort of floating in the air. It's enough. The person's dead, but nevertheless, it's still the yoshim can be bringing it for their kapara. We learned about this in Zvachim, for example. We're talking about, let's say, for example, an Ola.
Yeah.
So fine, the Yoshim can be bringing it, having in mind that if they themselves are Chayiv an Ola, then they can be bringing an Ola.
Under their name?
Under, yeah. As opposed to the Chafas, they can't.